Welcome to the Matt Report, the number one WordPress business podcast. This isn't geek speak. It's about the journey of success and failure as a WordPress entrepreneur. Get ready. You're just an episode away from your next aha experience or big idea. And now your host, Matt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Matt Report, mattreport.com/subscribe, mattreport.com to just check out the new landing page. Let me know what you think about the homepage. It looks pretty awesome in my eyes. Super excited for today's episode one because it's been a while since I've actually put a new episode out, and so I apologize for that, but things are kicking into full gear here at the Matt Report and at the studio. I can't wait to talk about some of the stuff there. But I just first have to say that today's guest, Nathan Hangen of Ignition Deck, you saw him in my startup challenge episode. This dude is awesome. If I ever have a co-host, it's going to be Nathan. Of course, I have to ask him first, but I might actually try to actually do that. He brings us down so many awesome avenues about building his business, Ignition Deck, from what it was like to build the product, how he builds the product, how he plans his product, then how he drives traffic to Ignition Deck. And then we're going to talk about some of the really, you know, inside baseball things of dealing with large competition, legally dealing with large competition, where he got a cease and desist from one of the big brands that are out there, and I assume it might be a Kickstarter. Oh, if I didn't mention, Ignition Deck is a fundraising crowd sourcing app, or excuse me, plugin, which I think he's eventually going to turn into an app, which he talks about, and it's just tremendous. It's just an awesome advice all around from all corners of his business. The Procast, the pro segment that he talks about, is how to drive traffic to his site, and he'll go into detail about that if you are a MattReport.com pro member. Pro member, you say? Yes, pro member. The Matt Report Pro is finally here. I think in this episode I said /register. I actually meant to say /join. So please, if you want to learn more about the Matt Report Pro, it's mattreport.com/join. It's the best way to support this show, right? When 2014 rolled around, I said, I need to monetize Matt Report. I want to build a business in front of folks' eyes. I want to do this as a practice of building value, building content, building an audience, having a customer base, and giving back and being profitable while doing it, so that I can go to WordCamps and I can attend all these different conferences across the country, because it does get a little bit pricey. And until I am Corey Miller status or Brian Clark status, somebody's got to pay the bills, and that's me. And I want to do it by building an awesome online community, an awesome online business that I can have you all a part of. I looked at taking advertising sponsorship, and I just didn't feel it in my gut. I didn't feel that it was right. One of the sponsors wanted to be my only sponsor, and they were giving me some good money, where I could have really, done that and launched a membership site. But it didn't feel right in my gut. I don't want to be reading ads other than for my own stuff. And it just didn't feel right. So I didn't take that kind of money. So what are you going to get with the Matt Report Pro membership? First and foremost, you get private community access, right? We're going to have bulletin boards up there where you can talk about all things about your WordPress business, your life, whatever it is. It's like a mastermind community, that is kind of filtered away from the open internet. So if you have, if you've been following me for a while, you know that I have a lot of communities that I've built. I have WPMentor.org. I have the Google Plus Entrepreneur community. You can post on my blog in the comments. And, some folks kind of hold back. They don't want to share maybe some private business details. Well, in this community, with a pro membership, that you're going to get access to me. I'll be answering questions. Guests will be answering questions. And even other members of the community will be answering questions. So that we're a bunch of like-minded individuals. And you're going to get direct access to my guests. So you'll see a post on the forums about upcoming guests for March in particular. And if you have questions for these folks, or you want to recommend a guest, you can post right in that forum there and say, here's the question I want, for instance, Carrie Dills to answer when she comes on the show in March, stuff like that. I'm going to do special monthly training calls in the month of February, last week of February. We're going to talk about building a community, things you have to do to build a community, the benefits, the trials, the tribulations, things like that. Every month I'll have a procast. This is a professional podcast from professional WordPress people. And this month, it's already posted for February, Chris Lemma, Pippin Williamson, and Tom McFarland are going to spend an hour with us talking about growing a business, building a business, raising prices to make a little bit more money with our projects and all that fun stuff that they've experienced in their business. So you're going to get that as well. Every single month, I'll put out a new procast, a new training webinar. So you're already looking at 2 hours worth of private training there. And each guest, like I mentioned, Nathan's going to have his pro segment. We'll stick around to the end of the show where the public podcast will not hear the answer to whatever question they might be answering at the beginning. And this one is driving traffic with Nathan. And we'll get that stuff posted to the forum so that only pro members have access to it. So what does this all cost? Well, this is going to be special just for the podcast listeners. I'm not going to post this on the blog post. So you might just have to jot this down or, you know, write it down. You get out of the car, whatever it is. For you, for the listeners today, it's $10 down for the first month. And then $39 a month recurring. And you would use the promo code in all capital letters, MATPRO10. And you use that at matreport.com/join. And that's special pricing just for my podcast listeners. For 10 bucks, it's a way to support the show. Even if you say, you know what, Matt, I don't even like this. I don't want to stick around. I don't want to be part of this community. I don't want all this free stuff that you're going to be giving. I don't really need to support the show, you know, recurring. Even that 10 bucks will help me. And I, you know, really, really appreciate it because I get to work hard to not have advertising and not have sponsorship on the show. So every month, mastermind, community, awesome training, private access to my guests. Right now, $10 down for the first 30 days, and then recurring $39 a month, just a slight smidgen more than what you pay for hosting on a managed hosting provider. And you're going to get a whole heck of a lot more than you're going to get from some of the leading managed hosting providers in terms of support for your business. The other bonus in this month is I already have James Dahlman's pro segment up there where he talks about finding these six-figure clients. I had him on. His show is not posted at the internet on the internet yet, but maybe I'll put the entire show on the forum if enough people post about it in the forum. But you also get that as a bonus this month. So again, $10 down, $39 a month. The price is definitely going to go up. Right now, I'm thinking, you know, it's either going to be $99 down for the first month and then $59 a month. There will be a number, but the price will definitely be going up. So take advantage of this now. Again, it's not going to be posted on the blog post because I only want my podcast listeners to have access to this. MattReport.com/join, promo code MATPRO10. Cancel any time. Let me know, MattReportBlog@gmail.com, MattReport.com/contact. You have questions about it, you want to hit me up on Twitter, whatever. I'll answer any of your questions. This is the number one way to keep this podcast going. Without further ado, I hate that this kind of overshadowed my awesome interview with Nathan, but let's dive into Nathan because it's just some awesome advice today. Thanks for your support. And again, if you have any questions, tell your friends, number one WordPress business podcast or any business podcast for web marketing, web designers, developers, freelancers, agencies, all that stuff. Spread the word, MattReport.com. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing Matt Report episode. Nathan Hangen joining us on the show. Met him out in Pressnomics, which was a great time. We're going to talk a little bit about that later on the show. But Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
So actually, before I begin, because this is sort of a new segment, we are going to chat in the bonus section that will appear in the Matt Report membership section. We're going to talk about driving more traffic and charging a little bit more money from your clients. This is that new segment that we've been talking about at the Matt Report. So if you want to hear that, you're going to have to go to MattReport.com/register, and we will get you registered to an account, and you can get access to Nathan's great insights. But without further ado, Nathan, who are you? What do you do?
Well, we already talked about my name. I'm Nathan Hangen, and I'm basically a lifelong entrepreneur, for better or for worse. I've been trying to build businesses since I was a kid. I spent a little bit of time in the Army. Came back out of the Army motivated and ready to get back into that. So right now I am the co-founder and the lead developer for Virtuous Giant, and we make products like Ignition Deck and Member Deck for WordPress.
Awesome. You said something that I really loved. You say you're trying to build a business or you've been trying to build businesses. I want to talk about that, but why have you chosen WordPress as your entrepreneurial platform?
Well, you know, I have been, some of my earlier businesses, at least online businesses, were in kind of internet marketing or just building products, and I needed a quick website to spin up. And so WordPress was always, I kind of taught myself WordPress a long time ago, back when I got my first Twitter account. And I just always loved how easy it was to spin it up. The install was great. And so I just kept reusing WordPress. And eventually, you know, like all of us, I learned how to tweak it a little bit and, build my own stuff. And it just kind of grew from there. And so eventually when we started building tools like Ignition Deck, we needed a platform because we had a use for our product. And so we needed a platform to build it on. And WordPress, it just made sense because we already knew it and we loved it. And, I knew a lot of people in the community. So it just went from there.
Nice. Do you still see it as a viable platform, or do you kind of see your business outgrowing WordPress?
You know, that's a great question. It's something my co-founder and I talk about a lot, and we get a lot of requests for stuff outside of WordPress. And I would say the answer to that is yes to both. Yes, we want to expand beyond WordPress for a lot of different reasons, whether it's client base or just, you know, enterprise product lines where they don't necessarily want to use WordPress, just to have that kind of opportunity. But also, I think WordPress as an application platform is underused. I think it makes a great base layer. And I think some of the products that are coming out these days are starting to build APIs on top of WordPress. And I think that really excites me too. I think that potential is still untapped, and that's probably the direction we're going to go.
Yeah, I think that's something that especially out in Pressnomics, we saw a lot of talk about that, and we saw some talk about outgrowing WordPress. But I want to get your insight. You know, we look at it and we're like, hey, I mean, we just look at it really primitively. We're like, that powers 20% of the internet. Of course, there's a market. And you know, but then you get into these meetings like a Pressnomics or even WordCamps, and sometimes we leave there saying, are we just selling to like each other? Like, is this community just selling to each other? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, does the common folk understand what WordPress can do yet? And would they hire somebody like you and I to build these applications?
That's a good question. I think in a sense, yes. In fact, I was talking to Adam Pickering about this at Pressnomics, and I think WordPress is still we're still doing things the old-fashioned way, the old WordPress way, and I think we are, as entrepreneurs in the WordPress community, I think we're grossly underperforming. I think we could be doing a lot better. I think we should have a lot more million-dollar or seven-figure WordPress businesses. I'd like to see even more than that, you know, billion-dollar WordPress businesses. But I think when it comes to, you know, Joe Schmo or somebody who needs a website, you know, they're going to want to update content, they're going to change things, and they're probably going to be cheap, and they're going to want to do it without having to pay you to come back and do it. So definitely from a client perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think if you got to spin up a quick CMS, I mean, you know, the average customer is not going to spin up a Ghost instance or they don't want to pay for, you know, Expression Engine or, you know, and if you ever use Joomla or Drupal, I mean, those are great systems, but, you know, it's just a pain. So I think that will always be there. I think it's going to continue to grow. I still think and maintain that we're in the infancy of WordPress as a e-commerce platform.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you hit the nail on the head about being, as entrepreneurs, just vastly underutilized in many ways about, you know, building these multi-million dollar businesses and the old-fashioned way, you know, and I'm guilty of it is, you know, we're doing themes and plugins, right? But what else can we do? And of course, Ignition Deck being one of those sort of SaaS models, you know, from the outside, and just doing something totally different than just make my blog post look pretty or share my blog posts. So, you know, kudos to you in that front. You know, and we even heard Gravity Forms talk about this, like, hey, we don't even consider ourselves a plugin. We consider ourselves a SaaS app that happens to run on top of WordPress. So it'll be interesting to see as the years come, you know, what other companies kind of spawn from this model.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I was going to mention that also because I talked with Carl a little bit about that. And, you know, it's building that base layer, like we talked about with the API, I mean, that's where the real power is. And I liked Carl's analogy, Carl from Gravity Forms. You know, his competitors are not people on WordPress. And I think that's true for a lot of us, because some people took that as like him boasting about it. But I think he's looking at it as in, you know, the power, you know, they're all venture-backed companies, and we can compete with them using WordPress. Just because we have WordPress doesn't mean we can't run a Shopify or a WooFoo or something like that. So I really like what you had to say on that topic.
Yeah, I agree. Before I get into your business, something else you brought up about internet marketing, and you kind of dove into that area early on. That is something that actually was something that inspired me to start the Matt Report, because I heard these internet marketers, and we all know who they are. some of us follow them, and some of them give really good advice, but there's like a majority of just folks that are out there that are giving this advice that look at WordPress as like this throwaway thing, right? It's like, need a site? Spin up WordPress. Need to sell? You know, you too can make $1 million a year by selling on top of WordPress. Just spin it up. Don't ever have to worry about it ever again. No one thinks of scale and security and growth and, you know, function of a website. Your thoughts on like this whole internet marketing thing, good or bad? Is it changing? What do you see happening?
You know, I could probably talk about this for hours, because when I was in Afghanistan, this is probably going to be my first and only tour, and as long as I got out of the army, and I wanted to come back with the business. And so I had, you know, learned WordPress, and I actually wrote a Twitter guide called Twitter Rockstar, just because I read one, I thought I could do a better job. And then, you know, it sold well, so I kind of got sucked into that a little bit, and I started blogging and pitching that stuff. And after a while, you kind of get sucked in. And then I realized after a while, I didn't feel like I was producing anything of tangible value. And so I basically took those skills, you know, switch professions to software developer and apply those skills. So I think the internet marketing stuff, you know, selling the ebooks, I think that's, it still works for people who are actually offering a tangible good, a good value product. But I think in terms of like, I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Kern or some of those guys called, you know, in the syndicate as they call it. I think those guys have great, they've taught us all how to market better. I don't think, you know, doing that necessarily is going to be a pathway to success going forward. But I think using those tools, the basic tools, email marketing, writing good copy, blogging, SEO, all that stuff, if you're going to go and build a product, you just reapply the same tools and it'll work.
Yeah, I mean, and that's sort of like the crossroads that the Matt Report is at, and something I've actually opened up to the audience to, you know, I'm just asking for feedback. Like, what would you pay? Like, I don't want to be the guy that's out there that's like, you know, top 10 ways to launch your WordPress business. Download this ebook now, and then I'm going to hit you up later for like a, you know, whatever, one-on-one consulting or a paid webinar. I don't want to do that same route. And on the flip side is, I think we're all starting to become a little bit jaded from that. And I spoke to some people at Pressnomics and this last weekend, WordCamp Boston, where folks were literally spending like thousands and thousands of dollars looking for consulting. I'm not saying they weren't getting good consulting, but the WordPress industry and marketplace is a different animal. And if you go and you get that generic counseling from somebody else, and then they try to apply it in like building a theme or a plugin and working with the community, it's just not the same advice. So I saw a lot of discouraged folks, or I heard from a lot of discouraged folks who have been putting out a lot of money for this typical internet marketing without any results.
Yeah, and I think the issue with that is you have people coming trying to make money and solve and learn on the job. So there's a lot of people trying to learn on the job and make money at the same time, and really they can't offer good service. And then you have a bunch of people who really, they don't eat, you know, we're big believers in dog fooding our own products. So everything we sell, we generally try it first. I don't think you have a lot of that. And I think if the people who have success and who can teach marketing in WordPress are the people who are doing that every day. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be a consultant. You know, we saw, I can't remember the gentleman's name, and, you know, he hit the publish button at Pressnomics.
Oh, yeah.
Great example. And then, you know, anybody who sells a plugin or theme that does well, I mean, those are the people that truly get it.
Yeah. So let's talk about Ignition Deck. You also mentioned you spoke with Adam Pickering. He has a competitive product, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. We actually joked about that at dinner over beer.
And that was one of the awesome things about Pressnomics, and I wrote about this, that competition at Pressnomics is in the air, but it's like an amazing, it's totally different than if you went to like a Blog World or something like that, or some other big conference where your competitors looked at you and It's like, I want to eat your lunch. Instead, at Pressnomics, we're having lunch with each other. But yes. tell us about Ignition Deck and what it's all about.
Yeah, so Ignition Deck is a WordPress or a crowdfunding plugin for WordPress. And really, we built it in, we launched in October of 2011, after about 6 months of development. And we built it because we wanted to, at the time we were doing mobile development, my partner Sean and I got together and started a business in 2010. And so we had this really cool iPad game idea. It was called DJs versus Ninjas. And it was just going to be this real cool, like Guitar Hero meets ninjas. And it sounds kind of campy, but it was kind of a cool idea. We had a friend who's a DJ and he was going to do the music and everything. And so we wanted to raise money, but we were turned off by the Kickstarter application. Like, I felt like they were trying to make, to design my levels for me. And like, I didn't like having to ask somebody for permission on how to do crowdfunding. So we thought, well, let's look for a WordPress solution, and it didn't exist. And so we wait about 6 months. We tried again. We look around. Surely there's something there by now. Kickstarter's taken off. It still wasn't there. So we thought, you know what? Let's just build it ourselves. And I wasn't a developer at the time. I mean, I was a front-end guy, but not a back-end guy. And Sean's a front-end guy also. And so we brought in some developers to help us build a prototype. We put up an email splash page, and we took off from there. Since then, I've now taken over as the lead developer. Ignition Deck's been out for 2 years. We have thousands of customers, and it's a full-time job for us both now. More than full-time, often. But it's spun off into two different products on top of that: Ignition Deck Plus membership and a white label platform that people have requested called Enterprise, which we can get into if you want. But yeah, that's the gist of it.
Yeah, I'm interested in so many aspects of this business. Most folks, from the outside, from the exterior, say, yeah, I put up a landing page, got some signups, and then off we go. But what was the pain points of that? Do you have any of those stories where it was like, we put up a landing page, no one came, but then we sort of did this, and all of a sudden that's what clicked? Anything like that?
Sure. So, I'll be honest, and this might encourage people. We only had 200 people on our email list when we launched. I had an old Twitter account with like tens of thousands of followers. I ditched it. My account now has less than 1,000. So we didn't have a lot of reach there. We didn't have a lot of reach on Facebook. I knew some people who were in the marketing and WordPress community, but, you can't keep pushing those buttons all the time. So we just kind of put it up. We might have done a little AdWords, but we just SEO optimized that page, and we just let it come in for 6 months to see if there's interest. And like I said, we launched to 200 people. But I would say over 50% of those people bought within the first 3 months of the launch. So,
nice.
But the problem is that the product was beta, so we launched it in beta and we charged $39 at the time. It was a really crappy product. I mean, I'm embarrassed just to think about it. at the time it was just called like, it was like a crowdfunding widget and that's it. We had all sorts of bugs because I wasn't a developer. And so, I was testing, but not testing as well as I could. And so there was a lot of pain points there, but people stuck with us and we just kept iterating on it. And we were the only crowdfunding plugin for WordPress at the time. So people had to come to us and we had a really great community. We were active in support and reaching out and talking to people and saying, hey, we're really working on this to make it better. What can we do to make it better? And so that just kept building and building and building. I mean, it wasn't like it was gangbusters. It probably took 12 to 18 months before it really started to grow some consistent revenue.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people are afraid, and I talked to some folks over the weekend as well at WordCamp Boston, and they have like this product there. They have this idea. Maybe they've sketched out a theme, or they've actually started to code a plugin, and they're afraid to kind of launch it because of what you just said. You launched, it was ugly, it was problematic, but you stuck through it. You just talked to your clients. I mean, what's your advice to those folks who are afraid to kind of launch it just because of the fear of showing the world what they've built?
Yeah, we all kind of have that fear where we're afraid of being a fraud or exposed. I mean, I'm a big Hacker News reader, and for a while, my worst fear was somebody posting our product to Hacker News and then picking it apart. But, what we came to realize is that most of our customers, they don't read Hacker News, they don't read tech sites, they don't read our code. They just want a functional product that works kind of like it's supposed to. And if you can do that, and if there's a bug or something like that, as long as you address the fact that the bug exists, and you try and show them that you're going to fix it, you know, it's unrealistic to launch a product that's perfect. I mean, we've been launching products, you know, WordPress products, dozens of them. I think I now have 30 plugins in my own personal repo. They're never perfect. There's always a bug. There's always something that you missed. And so you've just got to throw it out there. The customers are the best beta testers ever. Mm-hmm. And usually the first buyers, first early adopters are the ones who will be the most generous in supporting you and helping you fix things.
Yeah. You know, in the world of software, right? I mean, this is the game, right? I mean, you will never have that perfect line of code or that perfect set of features on day one, and certainly not on day 365. Plenty of dynamic stuff moving on and adding to the fray. How do you manage your sort of, you know, that feature request? Now, you know, here you are a few years later. What is it that the day to day like that when people say, you know, what would be really good? This, I mean, how do you say no to a lot of this stuff?
Well, so we run everything through a support forum that's all protected via our. That's a custom plugin we built for that. So we run through BB Press, and we have a feature request forum, and then we also have a contact form on our website, which gets used a ton. And then we use a product called Intercom inside of our WordPress product. It's basically like a help desk / messaging system. It's a really cool product. I love it. But so people will use that to send us stuff. So basically, they'll send us a request, and we'll say, you know, thanks a lot for sending the request. If it's something that we get a lot of requests for, we'll say, you know what, we're receiving a lot of requests for this, so we're going to talk about it when we can implement the product. If it's something that is something we don't want to do, or we're not sure, you know, maybe it's a year from now we'll do it. We generally say, you know, thanks, we're going to throw it up on our board for discussion. We haven't had a lot of requests for it, and we can't promise it'll go in, but it's definitely something we could consider. Also, how would this help you? How would you use this feature? You know, what would it do for you? Because maybe there's another feature that they don't know about that would actually solve that same problem. And then there's a lot of times where I get a request and it's like, you know what, why don't we do that? Why isn't that in there already? And I won't even talk to Sean about it. Boom, I'll just pop it out. Maybe it's a couple hours, maybe it's a day, but that happens quite often too. Hmm.
You know, one of the things from looking at this business of raising money and doing it in the crowdfunded fashion, what kind of, you know, legal stuff were you afraid of, or did you kind of already know, like, you know what, there's no real legal stuff I should be afraid of, or who, the onus of projects? Do you ever get anybody yelling at you saying, this person who I gave money to using your plugin never built their product? What is that all like?
You know, that's a good question, and it's something that, you know, we're kind of like We you know, we're not afraid to break rules and then apologize later. So we'll just kind of rush out there. It's, you know, we'll throw a product out there and see what happens. You know, we never want to scam anyone. And so because our product, you know, it's 2 years old, but it's still young in terms of shelf life compared to other products. And crowdfunding is so new. We haven't really had to experience that, and we don't worry a lot about legal issues. However, we want to make sure that people are protected in terms of, we don't want Ignition Deck to get a bad name if somebody screws somebody over. I mean, I backed Instacube, and that was the only product I've had on Kickstarter I've had to ask a refund for, because it basically became vaporware. So we're thinking about actually building a kind of validated by Ignition Deck tool. We're still in early phases of that, but we want to do something there for buyer protection, but it's such a big problem to solve. But, you know, our biggest asset is our legal team, which is expensive, and we don't pay them. It's not a monthly expense, but it's something we're prepared to spend if we have to, and they advise us very well. So I recommend that if you're at a business at scale and you need, you know, you're afraid of things like that, know who you can call if you need a lawyer. You know, we've had our biggest issue was cease and desist from some of the bigger names in crowdfunding because they didn't like, you know, who we were or what we were doing. But we resolved those amicably and never had any issues after that, at least, you know, knock on wood.
Is there anything that you can disclose about that? I mean, is it, in my early days, I started up a company. I also received a cease and desist. That company never actually ended up launching, anyway. But were you afraid at the time? Was it as simple as changing some code, or is anything you can chat about on that realm?
Sure. Well, at the time, I had a full-time job. I was a director of Interactive at an ad agency, and so that's just another part of my phases. you know, working to, until the product supported us. But I had an office across the street. Actually, so I'd go there on lunch and after work. It was very convenient. One day I went over there and I had a FedEx overnight, you know, mailer, and it was from a very, they sounded very important, this law firm. And so I was, I was half excited because I was like, oh my gosh, if these guys know who we are, then we must be onto something. And then I was half scared to death, like, oh my God, what if we get sued out of our minds and, you know, we have to close down business. Luckily, we were still early. We're like, well, you know, if they, we have to close a business, then we'll find something else to do. But it turned out that, you know, the fear was irrational, and then the excitement was probably a little irrational too. But, you know, they, it was a design issue. They thought our design copied their design too much. And so we said, we'll come out with a bunch of different designs and we'll make it more customizable so it doesn't always look like your site. And that was the resolution.
Nice, nice. You also said that, you know, you start with this idea. Now you have sort of a membership component, a white label component. I also notice on the site you have a consulting component for folks who are looking to kind of, I guess, do this, the crowdfunding stuff. It's very interesting to me because it reminds me a lot of sort of kind of where I'm at is we start to see some opportunity in other areas. How do you manage that mentally as an entrepreneur? Listening to an investor the other day talk, and it was all about designing your business first. Don't go chasing that money. And then, because as soon as you find that opportunity where that money is, you start to think, okay, I can make more of this money. You know, your thoughts on how you kind of manage all that.
Well, you know, what that investor said is pretty good advice, with a few caveats. But for a long time, we tried to get out of this business because all we wanted to do was build a one-time plugin and go build other stuff. We had all these other great ideas, and we kept trying to escape. And, you know, something for whatever reason just kept bringing us back, sort of signals. Maybe we picked up a client, or maybe we picked up a big customer. Finally, we're like, you know what? This is what's paying our bills. We'd be foolish to ignore it. Let's just keep building it. So at the same time, I have, you know, a ton, if like most entrepreneurs, a ton of ideas for other products, and then a ton of things I want to do for Ignition Deck. We use Trello to manage that, and we just have boards everywhere full of ideas.
Me too.
And it's so frustrating because, you know, I'm disappointed with my product now because I'm thinking about what it's going to be like in 6 months. You know, and Sean's the same way. He has all these themes and things he wants to build. And it's like, you know, we've learned eventually that as long as the sales keep coming in, it's okay to not be where you want to be. You know, just keep iterating as fast as you can. Like I said earlier, I have like 30 different repositories I manage between our extensions and our private stuff that we build. So every day I'm switching in between code projects and it become messy, but I kind of just embrace the madness. In the Army, we had a term called embrace the suck, and it was basically like, you know, it's going to suck whether you're mad about it or not, so might as well just get happy about it and embrace it. So that's kind of what we've tried to do, is just revel in it.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. I mean, I know for the last, God, I don't know, 5-6 years, it's like, how do I control this beast in my head that's always like, hey, this is great. You did a really good job. Let's move on to the next thing, you know, and to the same point as you is it's, hey, this thing's making you money, but you just want to move away from it. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, you know? That's exactly.
What is wrong with you? It's making you money. Why would you give up on it to this point? I don't think it's anything if we didn't have that problem, we wouldn't be entrepreneurs. I don't think so. I guess it's good that we can't kind of tame this thing inside of us.
We, you know, just real quick on that, you know, Sean and I, once or twice a year, we get together and we basically bring in all the ideas that we have and we just pick them apart for like 3 days. You know, we sit, grab a bunch of beers, watch movies, whatever, and we just talk about our ideas. And if we have an idea that we think is really going to be better, or we can execute better, we'll start on it. But generally, we find that, you know what, these ideas are just fantasies. I think one good conversation to have in that regard, though, is, this business is making me money, but how could it make me 10x? How can I scale it? And that's a whole different one, obviously. But I think that's a good one to have.
Do you think that WordPress entrepreneurs, as they're known now, are thinking scale, or thinking 10x, or do you, the most WordPress entrepreneurs you cross paths with, are they just like, oh, I'm happy, kind of just doing this thing on the side?
I think almost You know, I'm a very passionate, driven entrepreneur, and I try to find people like me. And I would say that most people are just happy with making a good living, doing what they do in WordPress. They don't want to stretch out of their comfort zone. They're big. You know, I have a family, but I believe balance is unachievable, at least in my personal life. So I would say that a lot of them are more focused on balance, or which is fine. It's just I don't think we have a lot of people out there when you're talking about venture-backed companies who are raising, you know, 1 million, 10 million, Series A, B, whatever. I don't think we have enough killers in the WordPress community, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I would like to see more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. At the WordCamp, I had a gentleman approach me, a little bit older, maybe 40s, maybe early 50s, looking to build his WordPress business and just a service business, like a consulting business. And he went to my talk and he listens to the podcast and, you know, God, if you're listening right now, pay attention because he came up to me and he said, you know, I'm doing this. I'm really struggling with it. And I'm having a hard time just getting people paying me more money. And I just said, well, are you focused on a particular vertical? And, you know, are you servicing a certain set of clients? Because you have to sort of tame that chaos, especially in the service industry, is, you know, who are you and what do you really do? You can't just service everyone because you'll never scale as an individual. He was just like, no, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then he walked away. and so I was like, well, you know, number one, we're at these WordCamps because we want to help each other. And I was willing to sit there and sort of help him. But it was just like it was just like you said. It was like, I guess I'm comfortable with this sort of struggle. Well, don't be comfortable. Like, grab me by the arm and be like, what are you doing, Matt? Or grab another entrepreneur. Like, what are you doing? How are you doing it? And it was just weird to me that he didn't want to pursue a more in-depth talk about it. But you're right. Killers definitely in the WordPress world. This consulting, how is that working out for you? Is it something that that you guys are doing often? Are you getting flown out to places to show people how to raise, you know, millions of dollars? What's that like?
So we're very picky about consulting, especially as the product starts to do better for us. Early on, probably our biggest client was Robert Space Industries. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but it's Chris Roberts who did the original Wing Commander. Wow. And he came out and he hired us because he wanted to do something different than Kickstarter. And he ended up raising, we did this project for, gosh, it was probably 6 to 8 months, and they paid us well, but it was very, very difficult times. But they raised like $13 million overall using our product, and, you know, like $4 or $5 million initially. But they just kept raising and raising and raising. So it was very successful for them. It's like the most successful DIY raise to date, I think. So that was kind of our indoctrination into that. We thought, you know what, if he's willing to pay us this, you know, X amount of dollars to do this, and he made out very well, like maybe we could do this for other people. Because we didn't initially even think about doing consulting, because we didn't want to do like how to crowdfund. We wanted to do technical consulting. You know, we'll build a platform to ensure that you have the tools you need. And so we do that from time to time. Like I said, we're very picky. And we have generally a minimum criteria, but, you know, sometimes we'll build, like, so somebody wants a payment gateway and they're willing to pay us for it. So we build it and then we roll back into the product. So that's another fun thing that we'd love to do, you know, basically getting paid to put new features in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, recently we did a project called Ski Nation. It was a bunch of X Games skiers and Olympic athletes. And, you know, unfortunately, the marketing element of that just didn't take off. But it was still a fun project, and we built a theme that we can roll back into. You know, we're getting ready to release that. So we do enjoy it. We want to make sure it's a great fit because, as you know, clients can be it can be maddening to deal with.
Yeah. And you sort of segue right into my sort of next question concept is a lot of folks listening to this are saying, I want to be a WordPress entrepreneur in the sense of building a plugin or a theme or a SaaS business because I got to get out of the client space. Is it fair to say that, you know, maybe when you finally make that switch over to doing product, now, just forewarning, there's still a challenge, just like you spoke in the beginning. It took some time for it to really kick off. It's not like you're going to instantly start getting all these sales right away, but does it allow you to sort of like maybe 10x your consulting service where you're like, no, now we're the pros. We've got this business of a product. Is it fair to say that you can actually raise the rates of your consulting and be sort of picky like you are?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the benefits of having a product, especially if it's, you know, one of the leaders in its category, is that you are, like you said, you are a pro. You understand the market, you understand the needs of the customer, and it just makes sense. Well, like, why wouldn't you hire the person who built the software? So I think definitely that worked for us. You know, we, especially as sales took off, we're like, you know, this is our rate, and you know, this is our minimum, and if you don't like that, then you probably want to go somewhere else, like Elance or Odesk or whatever. So it also helps with confidence. It's really hard, especially when you know that if you turn this client down, you might not eat next month. Mm-hmm. And the client will pick up on that. But if you can project confidence and tell the same client that, you know, this just isn't a fit for me for X reasons. If you change your mind, here's how we can, resolve it. Suddenly the client's begging you to work for them. Mm-hmm. And that changes the power structure dramatically. And when you start to be the consultant and not the freelancer, and you're the person that they seek out, then they're, you know, they're basically begging for you to work with them. That's when you can basically write your own ticket.
Mm. And is this sort of the intro to the enterprise level? Is that how you kind of the enterprise version or enterprise branded Ignition Deck? Is that sort of how it started, where you saw this need to be the pro in that space?
Yeah, there's two reasons, really. The first reason, we had a lot of requests for it, and we, for kind of ethical reasons, we didn't want to build it because we're not big fans of kind of like the ebook phase when everybody wanted to sell an ebook on teaching your parrot to talk or whatever. Everybody wants to make a crowdfunding site and then charge 3 to 5% and make money on other people's effort. And we're just not big fans of that because it just felt wrong. And I've talked with Adam about this. He understands it. But there is a segment out there, especially in the nonprofit space, where it does make a lot of sense and they need this and they don't have anywhere else to go. And so we wanted to do it right, and we wanted to take our time doing it, really understand the space and the customer mindset before we did it. So that's why we took so long. But also, we started getting like the same consulting requests. Like, I want to do this, and this, and I need it for this price. And usually it was like, it's $500 and I need it ASAP. So obviously that's not a customer we want to serve on a consulting basis, but we thought, you know, we're getting like 10 of these a week. It's clearly there's a need for this product at this price point. I mean, they're giving us the price point that they want to spend. And so we said, you know what, let's just start building it. And so, you know, right now it's on sale, but it will be priced at about $500, and we're hoping to even go beyond that and target real enterprise solutions. But yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Very cool. And I was actually going to ask you about that. You know, let's say somebody comes to you and, you know, you're out at a bar one night and they're like, hey, you're the dude from Ignition Deck. I just raised $5 million and pulled up in this Porsche and I only paid $79 for you to buy the plug-in. I mean, your thoughts on pricing and sort of that feeling. I'd like to know your thoughts on that feeling of you being able to enable people to raise millions when, in fact, you might have got, you know, $79.
Yeah, you know, that's like, especially when Star Citizen raises like $14 million, we're like, you know, 3 to 5% of that would have been pretty nice.
Yeah.
but they probably wouldn't have come to us if we had asked for that. So, you know, we figure that this is going forward, maybe not rewards-based crowdfunding, but crowdfunding is here to stay, and, you know, pre-orders are getting hot. Like, we think there's going to be enough business to where we, you know, we're entrepreneurs. We wanted to do it without a middleman, so it would be kind of hypocritical of us to charge a fee on top and take away that from someone else. So it's just something, it's a reality that we've allowed ourselves to live with because it kind of matches our philosophical foundation when it comes to our product. We are working on maybe like we put a page up a couple weeks ago. It's called Ignition Deck Nebula, and we're working on a platform that will kind of be like a cloud crowdfunding platform. Mm-hmm. And we might charge a fee on top of that, but that's for a different reason. It's not really, it's not really the same, and it wouldn't be the same as Kickstarter. So we're not against it completely. It's just we want to enable people to move. Yeah, if somebody raises a ton of money and they have a Ferrari, that's great. We think it's great.
Yeah. You know, and I asked this because Chris Lemma recently posted about sort of the, I forget how we phrase it, but like sort of like the residue of freemium. You know, the way I see it is people are paying for your product, but unlimited websites for $79, to me, that's you're paying, you might as well be paying them to use it because it almost seems like it's just a giveaway for $79.
I agree.
any pricing strategies, you know, especially in this world of WordPress, scalability and sustainability is the word I was looking for. You know, everyone's kind of raising their rates. You know, what are your thoughts on sort of freemium raising your rates and pricing in WordPress?
Yeah, so that's a topic I love, and it's something that we talk about every day. And, you know, we started off selling a plugin at $39 in beta, and then we raised it, I think, to $49, and then maybe $59, and then it got up to $79, and we've even price tested $99. We found $79 was kind of optimal for that particular package. But we still, I agree with you, I still think it's too low. Because what you have a categories of like an indie musician who's barely scraping by trying to make an album, and then you have people who are, you know, have plenty of money, and $79 is nothing to them. So that's one of the reasons we've expanded our product line. Overall, I believe WordPress is priced too low. We do have a free product that's our Theme 500 framework, and it's free, you know, to get people interested in trying Ignition Deck, but also because we want developers to develop for Ignition Deck. But I think if you look at the landscape, you know, when we first started, there was a free plugin on WordPress. It was called like maybe crowdfunding for WordPress or something. And that guy eventually got buried in support, and he started recommending us. So we had to survive that free competitor. And then there was one from WPMU that, you know, I can't remember their pricing structure. But through the past 2 years, we've had to kind of survive these phases of people coming in, pricing it at whatever price they have. And so we've tried to maintain some consistency, but also be, you know, a price that reflects our value relative to the competition.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. It's definitely the crowdfunding is definitely an interesting space, and it's interesting to see, how successful you become with it, but also how you can sustain sort of these threats that come out, day in and day out. Biggest challenge right now for Ignition Deck, you know, is it that pricing? Is it, you know, features? Is it more customers? What is it?
I think the biggest challenge for us is probably twofold. We're at the point now to where we're, you know, trying to decide how we want to staff up. We try to build our product so that we don't need very much support, and we've done a very good job of reducing bugs and minimizing support. But we still spend, you know, probably a quarter of our week on support. So we've got to fix that. Plus we have, you know, people want more themes, they want more features, and these are things that we want to build, we need to build, we need to iterate fast. So being able to iterate faster is probably our biggest challenge right now. At some point, I'm going to have to give up the reins. I can't be, you know, doing everything myself on the back end, and same with Sean on the front end. So deciding...
It's still just the two of you going at it. You don't have a team right now.
Correct. We've tried bringing on other people, but we couldn't find anyone as passionate about the product as we were.
Yeah.
And so it was just easier to just, you know, I'll work 70 hours a week and I'll just do it myself.
Real quick, how are you sort of ironing out these issues so that your support is, you know, at least somewhat streamlined? Is it like triple, quadruple checking code? Is it meeting with the both of you before some new feature launches? Any kind of secret formula to sort of help that?
So, you know, our process is probably not the greatest process, but, you know, basically I test everything to death on my, you know, on my own test servers. I'm relentless in terms of just trying to find bugs. I test with plugins, you know, different themes, all that stuff. And then we push it to a test server where Sean will try and break it. And he's very good at breaking things for me, actually. So that works. But, you know, I think we've gotten very confident in our own abilities, in that we feel like we don't have to overcheck things to push it live. And if it is pushed live and somebody notices a bug, we can fix it quickly and push it back real fast. So, you know, our formula is just iterate fast. I would say, you know, if it breaks, somebody will tell us and then we'll fix it again. And we just keep pushing.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So questions about sort of WordPress community and WordPress sort of in general. We both attended Pressnomics. I just got out of a WordCamp. I'm sure you've been to the WordCamps before. You know, your thoughts on the community and, you know, Pressnomics versus a WordCamp. You know, are we going to see more business entrepreneurs in the WordCamps, or are people like Pressnomics just going to dominate that scene?
You know, I've been to a lot of conferences, and you know, I usually don't get impressed because they all look the same to me. But Pressnomics, I was very impressed by it. Very high quality production throughout, especially compared to a WordCamp. You know, no knock on WordCamp, but it's it's very casual compared to Pressnomics. So I'd like to see more of that. I think the problem is getting support from the foundation, and I think we're going to have some sort of give and take there. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'd like to see more of this, you know, the leaders in WordPress coming out together. You know, I think the WordPress community itself, I think, is very casual and laid back, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, it's just I come from a place where, you know, I'm more interested in the startup space and things like that, and so it's unusual for me to see that, and so I would like to see us push each other harder. I was talking to some guys at Pressnomics about how, you know, we all build like 30 versions of the same plugin for no apparent reason, just because we want to build it. You know, and that's great if you're cutting your teeth, but like, let's build some real solutions, and let's build some solutions that we can become the standard in WordPress, kind of like a Gravity Forms is, and then let's build on top of that, and let's just keep building out instead of just redoing each other's work over and over again, a new theme, a new plugin that does, you know, something just a little bit different. So I would just like to see, especially WordCamps, it's kind of oriented towards beginners, and I would like to see that expand and become and challenge people a bit more.
Mm, yeah, I totally agree. Derek Neighbors did a talk at Pressnomics sort of challenging us as a WordPress community. You know, did that talk resonate with you? And do you think there is a next step in this sort of stack of technology? I mean, is there enough room to build something great on top of WordPress that could make an impact like a WordPress?
Yes, I think there is. Unfortunately, I had to jet out early, so I didn't see that talk, but it sounds like something I would have loved to have seen. Oh, that's right, there's no video, darn it. Well, maybe he'll have slides somewhere. But I do think that we need to step it up, or if we're not, if the people who are in WordPress don't want to step it up, then we bring in some people who do want to. But I think my concern, and you know, no knock on the people who build WordPress and no knock on Matt, but I think I'm a little worried about the dynamics between WordPress, you know, automatic and, you know, how the rest of us, for example, in MySpace, Matt invested in, you know, I guess you could say our competitor, CrowdTilt. And I thought, you know, has he ever invested in WordPress companies? And I haven't found anyone to tell me yes. So I do worry that I feel like sometimes we're kind of left alone to struggle on our own, and I think we need more leadership. So I think we're going to need somebody on the business side to kind of lead that effort. So we're going to have to come together in some sort of, like Pressnomics, but some sort of formal organization.
Yeah. Boy, if I ever have a co-host for Matt Report, I think it's going to be you, because you're speaking my language, and I love it, because I think the great thing about WordPress, obviously aside from being open source and accessible, is a community, and it's a democracy, but it's a democracy with sort of out a main, there's no president, if you will, there's no general, and you know, this is sort of how we're all kind of finding our footing. The good thing is we can go in any direction we want. We can take it, run with it, and do whatever we want. The bad thing is, you know, there is no one sort of spearheading this. And yeah, there's a certain air of have and have nots in the WordPress community. And when you see things like that coming from the figurehead that is WordPress, you know, investing in other in other companies, it's just like, well, what about us? What about me? And hey, I mean, the good thing is you can go anywhere, right? You can post it on Hacker News, looking for an investor, or go to demo days, that kind of thing. You have the opportunity, but it is a little disheartening when you see that, especially in this quote-unquote tight-knit community that we're all a part of.
Yeah, especially, you know, because I think investors, that's a whole, probably something we could talk about forever too, but, you know, they hear WordPress and they think, well, that's, you know, that's a no for me, because I think of WordPress as a small little, you know, it's a cute lifestyle business, but right. WordPress can be bigger, but of course, well, we also have to worry about, you know, what if the rug gets pulled out from underneath us, and, you know, that's something we discussed. But I think there's a perception problem when it comes to investing in building bigger businesses at scale, that, you know, having some leadership will help us work through that also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, let's jump into one of the final two segments here. Next segment is what's in your toolbox? What piece of software or hardware do you use on a daily basis that folks might not be privy to? I noticed you said Trello. Is there anything else that the crowd might be interested in trying out?
Yes. Yeah, so from a code management perspective, I write in Sublime Text 2. I push it through Beanstalk using versions, and that automatically deploys for us to our different test servers and production servers. I love that whole flow. We're you know, Bitbucket is also a great place, especially free issue tracking and stuff like that. So from a technical side, that I love that stuff. From a financial side, there's two apps. You know, we use Stripe and PayPal to take payments, and there's an app for iPhone and iPad, I think, called PayPad. It has great tracking for Stripe, and it's much better than the Stripe dashboard, so I love that. And there's also one called Puttler for PayPal. It's PUTLER, and they've got an iPhone app and a desktop app. And that helps me generate, you know, reports and things like that. Because I also manage kind of our financials and our growth and things like that. So when I need to create reports every month of sales and track performance, I use those two tools to put it all together.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to check those out because I did not know they existed.
Yeah, I love them. Puttler's a monthly fee, but I'll gladly pay it.
Sweet. Let's jump into the lightning round, ask you a series of quick questions, and you'll have a series of quick answers.
Sure.
The one plugin you cannot live without besides your own.
Oh, that's tough. I would guess the SEO plugin. I really love. I always forget how to pronounce his name. Yoast.
Yep.
Yeah, I love his SEO plugin.
Nice. A favorite WordPress or business book.
Ooh, that's another good one. WordPress book, not so much. Business books, you know, I cut my teeth on some of the 37 Signal stuff, like Rework.
Yep.
I can go with that.
Good stuff. A quote that you live or run your business by.
Oh, gosh. There's not really a quote, but I would say it's more of a mentality. It's just I try, and Bill said it in Pressnomics, I try to work harder, faster, more often, and more relentlessly than my competitors.
That's awesome. The best business or career advice you ever received?
I think I would say it's do something that solves your own problems and not somebody else's problems.
The longest a client project has ever taken?
I would say about 8 months.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
If you had to switch to another CMS, what would it be?
I really, despite its flaws in setting it up, I'd like to try Ghost.
Nice. Who should I interview next?
You've probably interviewed everybody I would recommend. Have you interviewed Pippin yet?
Yep.
Okay. Gosh, I would find somebody in the e-commerce space that's the CEO outside of WordPress. I know your show is WordPress, but just to get a different.
Yeah, I love to do that. I actually love bringing on people outside of it so that we can learn from their experiences too. So I'm
like the Shopify CEO.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should try to pursue him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. What's the one question I didn't ask you that I should have?
Ooh, I would say. I think you probably have a lot of people doing consulting services on this podcast. So I would say if you are doing consulting, you can waste a lot of time chasing leads and trying to convince people to pay you. I would qualify everyone right off the bat by demanding a 30 to 50% retainer and don't even schedule a call with them until they're willing to put their money where their mouth is.
That's awesome. Well, Nathan, this has been an amazing episode. I can't thank you enough. We are this question that you just brought up. Let's talk about that and sort of that bonus material that folks can grab. You can get that over at mattreport.com/register. I just came up with that name on the fly, so I'm definitely going to change that for the next episode. But anybody listening to this, you'll get it at mattreport.com/register. Nathan, where can folks find you on the web to say thanks?
The best place to find me is probably on Twitter. I'm at nhangen, N-H-A-N-G-E-N, and of course, ignitiondeck.com is where our main product lies.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks for doing the show.
And no problem. Thanks, Matt.